Hello everyone, thanks for joining us and welcome to our first Thursday of the month in December 2020. This is Dr. Will Tuttle. I am here in Florida at my sister's house, and I'm just letting folks in. So wonderful to see you. Thanks again for your caring hearts that bring you here as part of this World Peace Diet Satsang, which we started doing a few months ago on the first Thursday of the month. So Madeline and I are here in Florida. Some of you are probably already aware of this because I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but my mother is 92 and is getting pretty close, it seems like, you know, I guess you don't know exactly, but to passing. And so we're at my sister's house, and I'm in one of the guest rooms here. So I'd like to go ahead and just start our call. Like some of you know, if you've been on this one before, the satsang, this is a little different. We try to, for sure, don't go longer than an hour, and try to keep it mainly focused on the spiritual dimension, which is really where the interface, I think, between veganism, compassion for animals, and awareness, ahimsa, nonviolence, all of this has, these are all basically, I think, outpicturings of spirituality, which is awakening from the delusion of being a fundamentally separate self and realizing that essentially we are infinitely interconnected with all other expressions of life. So that gives rise naturally to compassion and to a sense of kindness and caring and respect for other expressions of life. Although in our society today, of course, this is really strongly suppressed. And so most of us find ourselves competing and quite probably disturbed by what we see happening in the world around us, especially right now in the last few months, so forth. So that's why we wanted to start this first Thursday gathering, to provide an opportunity to remember the deeper truths that inform our lives. All right, so feel free to send, I have the chat on, so if you can't hear me or you have any technical problems, just write something in the chat. I'll be able to see it. And otherwise, usually what I like to do at the very beginning is just have a meditation together, and then we can open it up, we can share a few ideas, and then we can have your questions or concerns be addressed. Press *6 if you'd like to unmute yourself. You can unmute yourself by pressing *6. Can I turn up my volume? Okay, well, that's a good question. You know, I'll try to hold this. Is that better, maybe? Maybe that's better if I just kind of hold it closer. It's not such a good situation here at my sister's house. I don't have the piano like I usually have to play. And I did bring, actually, we're in a little tiny microvan, and we have a digital keyboard, and I put it on the roof of the van, and we drove all the way to Florida with that on the roof, and now it's in my mother's room, and I've been playing to her every day, and she seems to really like that. And she has days where she's pretty alert and doing great, and then she has other days like today where she's basically really barely hanging on. It seems like she's just sleeping most of the time and not very responsive. So right now she's doing that right now. But like I say, it kind of goes up and down for her. And it's a little slightly challenging here. The internet speed may not be all that great either. So the picture may be not the greatest, but hopefully you can hear me okay. And we've got a lot going on here. So let's go ahead and join in our meditation time. I think it's a little better. I think everyone is muted. It's maybe better if you turn off your screens just for the meditation part, just so we can kind of go in. But you don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm just thinking that's usually considered a little easier for meditating, but however you want to do it. is totally fine. And we'll go ahead and get started. So let's just begin our time together on this first Thursday of December 2020, time of meditation together here on our World Peace Satsang, connecting with the infinite web of life that we are a part of, that is without beginning and without end. And know that what we are also is without beginning and without end. What we are is a manifestation of the eternal infinite consciousness that gives rise to all manifestations in this universe and in all universes. And so, just resting for a moment in silence together. The symphony of silence, where all possibilities rest and may be called forth out of the silence. Our true nature, beyond form, beyond feelings, perceptions, mental impulses, beyond consciousness itself. Abiding in our original home, our true home, in silence. From silence, an infinite variety of melodies and harmonies and rhythms may emerge in time, and they will always eventually return to silence. And we give thanks knowing that each one of us is a unique melody, a unique rhythm, a unique harmonic pattern, arising out of silence moment by moment, returning to silence at some point, interweaving with other melodies that also emerge out of silence, making music together, dancing melodies together for a while on this beautiful symphony we know as the Earth, symphony of life, with an infinite number of melodies and harmonies and rhythms interconnecting, unfolding, manifesting, and always returning again to silence. And remembering that in any melody, there's always silence within the melody. Unique melody that we are, each one of us, unique beauty that we are, is heard for a while, returns to silence again, and within the melody, even now, moment to moment, we can connect with the silence, which always allows a new beginning. From silence, we can go anywhere, in any direction. We can break the habits. We can leave the prisons. We can unleash the powers and potentialities of the being that we are. When we touch silence, we touch the noumenal reality, the essential reality, out of which the phenomenal appearance emerges, into which it always returns again. And we can begin to identify with the source of the appearance that we are, rather than merely with the appearance, the form and the feeling, perception, impulses, and consciousness. The source of that . So abiding in the silence, together, giving thanks for this moment and for each other, this opportunity that we have in this lifetime to contribute our unique melody to the unfolding tapestry of music here. To be a note of inspiration, of kindness, of healing, of caring, perhaps even of wisdom, of understanding. Breathing and connecting with the beauty of breathing. Power of our breath, what is outside of us, we inhale into our lungs, into our blood, coursing through our blood into every cell of our being, this body, exhaling what is part of us now goes forth into the world, how our body is continuously breathing, blending with the breaths of everyone around us, everyone who has gone before us, everyone who will come after us, human beings, animals, trees. They're in every breath. You bring them in. When we breathe out, we can breathe out love and kindness. We can exhale compassion and empathy. We can exhale joy. And happiness. And we can exhale peace. And harmony. Whatever is on the outside, if there is strife or sorrow, anger or jealousy, we can inhale and convert those into love and breathe them out again as love, as compassion, as joy, and as peace. And this is perhaps our work that we can do as individuals and as a community together. We can breathe and transform the energy of fear. Inhale and convert fear into loving kindness, compassion, understanding, joy, and freedom. Our neighbors may be angry or afraid. We may ourselves be frustrated or nervous about something. You can just inhale and exhale peace, creating a living force field of peace and harmony around us, abiding in peace, letting it expand in ever-expanding spheres of light around us. In this way, we help to seed the universal human consciousness with the truth of joy and peace, loving kindness and freedom, the qualities of our true nature, the qualities of the true nature of all beings, breathing and radiating our true nature as infinite eternal life, and awareness, watching the drama in our life unfold, being aware and sending compassion to all involved, seeing a future that is unfolding, that is beckoning, that is filled with joy and freedom for all living beings. As we continue to journey home, in spite of the challenges and obstacles, the greater the fear or the anger that we see around us, the greater the love we send forth, the greater the compassion and kindness we send to others. Breathing in silence, abiding in silence. And now just giving thanks, connecting with the dimension of our awareness that is always present, that has a fundamental sense of gratitude that never leaves. Every moment we can touch gratitude. We can be grateful for whatever is happening, knowing that whatever is happening in our life in a very real and true way is, in fact, a mirror. A mirror that can help us to learn about ourselves. As we understand this at a deeper level, we can connect with gratitude for the opportunity to be here on this earth at this challenging time and to breathe love into the chaos that we perhaps see around us, and understanding and compassion, to hold all of the animals of this earth in our hearts, all the fishes and birds, all the mammals, all the insects, all the beings, the non-human animals, who in many ways are suffering unspeakably at human hands, to hold them in our hearts with kindness, compassion, with gratitude, with appreciation for their beauty, their willingness, their sacrifice, holding them in our hearts. With caring. We hold the whole human family also in our hearts, knowing that the violence that human beings inflict upon themselves and each other and on animals in the earth is a result of being wounded. Wounded from a very early age, perhaps. In other lifetimes, we send healing, send loving kindness and healing to all human beings, seeing beyond the outer appearance of the form, whatever race or age or gender or whatever, see the light that is shining always as the source of their life, and seeing the light that shines always as the source of the lives of all animals of all living beings. Seeing the infinite life is always shining. And abiding in this awareness, letting ourselves be a generating station, like a beacon of light shining out over the ocean of suffering. Just shine forth our loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. Gratitude for this opportunity. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be free. May all beings be loved. And abiding finally in our daily life, in the fires of the questions and problems that inevitably arise, knowing that we do have inner wisdom to respond appropriately and effectively, that we can cultivate and develop this inner wisdom. And that's really the great gift in all that is happening, that we never are given a challenge that is too great for us. We can always find ways of responding. It may be impossible to change what is arising, the events that are coming forth due to the karma and cause and effect of prior seeds that have been planted. But what we can always do is respond. You remember the prayer that we say every day at noon, the compassion prayer, the worldwide prayer circle for animals. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. We say that together silently. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Knowing that this is the truth, that there is a field of consciousness and compassion that we can be part of and that we are part of, that blesses everyone. So that we can turn away from delusion and the delusion of separateness and fear and embrace the truth of our eternal reality. So we close our meditation time with a sense of gratitude for each other, for everyone on this earth who is working now to help shine the light of awareness into the infinite web of relations, to help put to flight all the obstacles and delusions that are manifesting now, that are causing war and fear and disease and struggle, that is counterproductive, that's causing families and friendships to break up and so forth. You see there is a deeper restructuring going on to open the doorway to a brighter future for all living beings. And may we be part of this. May each one of us as an individual connect more deeply every day with our inner wisdom, inner joy and creativity, our inner radiant health, and let these shine into the world for the benefit of all beings. Give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. So many blessings to all of you. I really appreciate your loving hearts and connecting together in the meditation. So we have quite a time here we're going through. My goodness. I'm going to try not to get into the nitty-gritty of all of the issues that are in the media. I mean, the media already is a whole circus. So I thought what I might do, just to start things off here, is read something that I read recently in a book that I really like. It's this book here, I don't know if you can see it. It's called The Dhammapada. The Dhammapada, it's a it's one of the main source texts of wisdom in the Buddhist tradition. Dhammapada means Dharma path. And Dharma means teaching, basically the teaching that can lead to liberation or awakening. So the Dhammapada has a number of chapters, and the third chapter, I think it is, is called The Mind. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the mind. In Buddhist thought, there's one school which says that that's all there is. There's only mind. Everything else is an illusion. I'm arising in mind. It appears real like a dream. If I'm in a dream, it's so real. I have these dreams. I can taste, I can touch, I can feel hard, soft, I can fly, I can fall, I can scrape my knee, I can do all these things. Then I wake up like, oh, that was just all in my mind. All right. So this isn't the whole chapter. I just thought I'd read a few of the verses, some of the verses at the second half. So it's not very long, but I like it because I think it brings our attention where it needs to be, which is where we actually have power. We really don't have a lot of power over the minds of other people, right? I mean, it's very difficult to, people are always trying to have power over over others' minds, but over our own mind. So the Buddha, 2,500 years ago, apparently said these words. He said, "The mind, hard to see, subtle, alighting where it wishes, the sage protects. The watched mind brings happiness." See, already, I just think that's really beautiful. Protect your mind. The mind is very subtle. It's always moving. When you meditate, all of us, I think when we meditate, we realize our mind, it's hard to pin it down. It's going to jump here and there. It's going to work on things, chew on things, regret things, be afraid of things. That mind can create heaven for us, or it can create absolute hell for us. So the sage, a wise person, protects the mind. It protects our mind. Protect our mind from toxic input. Protect our body from toxic input. Toxic input into the body will definitely affect the mind. Junk foods, chemicals, same thing with input, what we read, see, what we take in. All of these things, and our thoughts and our feelings, being aware of all these things. That's why cultivating love, compassion, joy, and peace, radiating these into the world, and radiating awareness. Being aware. A watched mind. That's one line. That one line right there. And that one line. The watched mind brings happiness. I mean, that's a priceless jewel. Normally we identify with our mind. I'm angry. Oh, she hurt me. She hit me. He hit me. He scolded me. He insulted me. What's she going to do next? What's he going to, right? The watched mind brings happiness. We watch this. If we can watch it, then it's not us. What we are is eternal, far greater than what we see arising in our mind. Next verse, far-ranging, solitary, incorporeal, and hidden is the mind. Those who restrain it will be freed from Mara's bonds. So again, I'll just say a word about that. That's, you know, the mind is incorporeal. In other words, you know, this whole idea of Western materialistic science, that the mind comes out of the brain. I mean, forget it. That's the epitome of delusion. Mind is incorporeal. It's not. It gives rise to an appearance of a body that we identify with. It's far-ranging. It's solitary, right? I mean, the intuition can reveal what that perhaps means. One mind. Those who restrain it will be freed from Mara's bonds. Mara is what we call the great, I guess in Christianity, the devil, the deceiver, the deceiver. Mara is the deceiver, capital M. It's portrayed in Buddhism very similarly. It's when we are under the delusion of this world, and I would say of the corporate financial media forces that we see projecting themselves everywhere, that's Mara. And so the idea here is those who are able to restrain the mind will be freed from Mara's bonds. And again, this is where meditation comes in, where watchfulness, where vigilance is so important. Really stand porter at the gate of our thoughts. Be aware of our thoughts. Be aware of what we're indulging in. Am I indulging in thoughts of harming somebody else, or of getting revenge, of getting something just for myself at the expense of others, of using others as instruments? You know, what the basic idea is, if we indulge in these thoughts, we're planting seeds. And there's always a boomerang effect. As we sow, we will reap. So if we're sowing seeds in our mind of being a fundamentally separate self, trying to get what we want from others and from life and keep away what we don't want and struggling in this separate way, we're planting seeds that will definitely bear fruit. And we see that all around us. The fear and competition and many forms of violence, both subtle and gross. So again, the Buddha is just saying, understand the mind and restrain. Restraining the mind is, it's an interesting concept. In Zen, there's a great saying in Zen, a metaphor. This is I love this metaphor, actually. Suzuki Roshi used this metaphor. He said, if you try to restrain your mind, it's kind of like a cow or an ox, perhaps. If you put the animal on a chain, a tight chain, they're always kicking around and pulling, and it's just terrible. You know, he said, on the other hand, if you just give the cow a huge field and just put her out there in the field, or him, the cow will just stand there. It'll be totally at peace, right? That's restraining the mind, giving it space. Don't, you know, if we try to, you know, fight with it, that can be a big problem. So he's not saying to fight. When restraining the mind is to watch, be aware, give it space, but not, that doesn't mean indulging. All these things we learn, I think, through our life. That's the beauty of our life. We learn. Life gives us, guaranteed, it'll give us lessons every day. Next one is, for those who are unsteady of mind, who do not know true Dharma, and whose serenity wavers, wisdom does not mature. So we're talking about wisdom. And I think this is beautiful. You know, the idea is wisdom, prajna, is liberation. It's really the foundation of happiness and joy. So the idea is, if we're unsteady, if we don't know the true, if we don't have right views, we don't understand the way things are, we think we're fundamentally a separate thing, then our serenity will waver, and wisdom will have a difficult time maturing. But then he goes and says, for one who is awake, whose mind is not overflowing, whose heart isn't afflicted, and who has abandoned both merit and demerit, fear does not exist. So abandoning, again, these are basic ideas, to abandon as best we can the idea of gain and loss, I talked about this, I think, a few months ago, the eight winds, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, fame and infamy, praise and blame. These things, we want one, we don't want the other, and our mind is constantly in a turmoil. So the idea is, if we can watch our mind, be aware of these things, then fear will not exist. And fear, really, I think, is what we see running rampant right now in the world. So much. The forces that be, the Maric forces, are just whipping up a frenzy of fear right now, because fear, of course, allows us to be easily controlled and dominated. So the idea is, for us, the greatest strength we have is being awake. For one who is awake, whose mind isn't overflowing, whose heart isn't afflicted, and who does not, and who has abandoned both merit and demerit, fear does not exist. Okay, just a couple more here. Knowing this body to be like a clay pot, establishing this mind like a fortress, one should battle Mara with the sword of insight, protecting what has been won, clinging to nothing. So this is reminding us that the body is like a clay pot. You know, this means that, you know, a clay pot is fragile. You know, it can fall off the shelf any moment and crash and break. So that's essential to remember. Every day could be our last day. And so the body is like a clay pot. However, he says the mind is like we can make the mind like a fortress. That's what we bring with us. That's, you know, when this body goes, all we have is, it's the mind. So that's what matters. It matters to create a fortress of our mind, coming back to what he said earlier, the watched mind, bringing in inner strength and inner understanding. One should battle Mara with the sword of insight. Sword of insight is an old Buddhist metaphor. Manjushri is the bodhisattva of wisdom. He always has a sword. It's basically the sword of discrimination. So basically, when we look out in the world, it's very easy to be deceived by Mara, to be deceived by the illusions that are always being served up by our senses. The sword of discrimination is the mind when we're at peace, when we're quiet. We can look and see what's real and what's not real. That's a really critical skill to develop. And so this is the battle with Mara. Again, Mara is the deceiver, always deceiving. The stories that we run in our minds, the outer stories, but even more powerful are the stories that we tell ourselves, that usually have been planted by someone along the way. Protecting what has been won, clinging to nothing. Of course, clinging to nothing, that's a definition of nirvana or awakening. It's no longer clinging to being a separate self. It's a pure awareness. It's very difficult for us to comprehend, but this is what's always being pointed at, to the not hanging or not grasping on to any solid worldly thing for our salvation. We need to expand beyond the boundaries that the world puts around us all the time. All too soon, this body will lie on the ground, cast aside, deprived of consciousness, like a useless scrap of wood. Okay, so that's a basic truth, right? I mean, absolutely. I mean, I can see it with my mother right here. I mean, I remember I have so many memories of her, this vibrant, I mean, she was the most vibrant person you could imagine. You know, she was the queen of the prom, she was the lead of the college play, and she was my mother. She was really a very dynamic, powerful force to everyone around. I won't go into it, but my father was, he owned a whole chain of newspapers, and she was right there going to meetings, covering them, doing all the art. She was an artist, a painter, everything. So, an athlete, so, you know, seeing her, you know, just seeing this shell, it's really very similar. It's like a useless scrap of wood. I mean, she's barely breathing. She's on oxygen 24/7. just lying there, almost gone, right? I mean, you know, my mother. I mean, that's what I saw this morning. I played the piano to her for like a half an hour. She never once heard anything, you know, consciously. She was just not there. Other day, yesterday, she was conducting the music, right? Today, she was just couldn't even listen to it. So, but the idea here is to remember, you know, we're all going there. That's it. So this is not anything morose. This is reality. And ultimately, it's enormously inspiring and liberating because we are what makes this possible. So all too soon, this body will lie on the ground, cast aside, deprived of consciousness, like a useless scrap of wood. Whatever an enemy may do to an enemy, or haters one to another, far worse is the harm from one's own wrongly directed mind. I mean, that really sums it up. You think of, Buddha saying, whatever an enemy may do to an enemy, whatever one hater may do to someone else he hates, right? You just do the worst possible thing to this other person. What he's saying is, far worse is what we do to ourselves with our own minds. I mean, that's very sobering. From our own wrongly directed mind. See, in other words, if our mind is not directed in the right way, we create hells. We create, really, for ourselves. So the whole idea, really, in Buddhism is the power of the mind, of our consciousness, of our awareness. It's enormously optimistic because the idea is that we're basically in the driver's seat. The being that we are, we can create our experience of the world, and we're called to strive for wisdom and insight, not just for ourselves, but for others. Do it not just for our own benefit, but do it for the benefit of all beings. We cannot help other beings if we're deluded. That old saying you've heard me say, the very compassionate monkey who saw the poor fish and brought the fish up to the safety of the tree. You know, if we're not aware, we think we're helping others, but we're probably not. So that's it. And then the final one, this is the last one. Neither mother nor father nor any other relative can do one as much good as one's own well-directed mind. So again, no one can help you as much as your own well-directed mind. And that's, again, brings it right back to the beautiful fundamental truth that we each one of us can be a source of healing for ourselves, you know, and really from that point and for others if they're open. And I think to me this is pure gold for some of the challenges that we're, I think, facing now as individuals and as a society together. As we see cases spiking and people, apparently it's not being reported, but apparently there's a lot more, you know, suicides and spousal abuse, child abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse, and so forth. People are facing tremendous economic hardships, which lead to lots of unraveling of relationships. So I think, you know, we're in a situation in our society now where it's very important, I think, for us as individuals to be especially vigilant, to not allow ourselves to cave in to the fear around us and to the narratives that are designed to make us afraid of each other and of ourselves and of these mysterious pathogens and so forth, to really find our own foundation in consciousness beyond this very transient world. The Buddhists call it the floating world. It's floating. It's just floating. And it's like a flash of light. The Buddha says it's like a flash of lightning, like a drop of dew in the summer heat. All these things. To try to help us understand these things. So, all right, I'll stop there. I think I'm really grateful, really, to these I think it's so beautiful to know that there are really on this planet many wisdom texts. There are many traditions of tremendous wisdom, and we can use our own intuition to not only to read them, to find them, to be directed to them, but then also to interpret them, to understand what they mean and how we can apply them in our lives. So we have any questions? Does anyone have any questions or comments? I see, actually, I'll just say here quickly, there's a question from Susan. Is it true we are never given a challenge too much, too big for us? What about torture and horrible things that happen to people, I guess is what she's saying. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, is it really true? Is it true that we're never given something that's too much for us to handle? The problem with answering a question is that it can stop the process of questioning. And actually, the process of questioning is the most important process we can ever be in. So I would think it's good to kind of reflect on that. And but I guess a few little points I'll make are that it just depends on who it is. Like who is it that suffers? What is it that suffers? You know, that's the thing. And there are many, you know, interesting examples of things. I knew a guy back in the day named Jack Schwartz. Some of you may have heard of Jack Schwartz. He was kind of a famous guy. He passed away maybe 20, 30 years ago. But he was one of those people who practiced mind control and taught that to people. And he would put his arm out, and he would have people put cigarettes out on his arms, right? I mean, just, he said, "You cannot hurt me. You cannot hurt my body." He would have people do all kinds of things, you know, and it wouldn't hurt him. You know, he was able to somehow turn off his pain receptors, right? He said it's something that people can learn to do, you know. He was teaching people how to do that. And, and of course, the other thing that's well known is if someone is torture. I hate talking about torture, but, you know, at a certain point, you will go unconscious. I mean, if the pain gets too great, you'll be gone. You'll go. You'll just go unconscious. You know, that's what happens. So, and then the thing to also understand is, like, when I think about this a lot with animals, you know, it's, again, I don't want to give an answer because this is a process, but just to, you know, feel into it. I mean, it's terrible what we do to animals. Obviously, it's hideous that they're born into horrific violence and misery and fear and chronic and acute pain is inflicted on their bodies in a variety of ways. And then they meet the slaughterhouse, and then they're hung upside down. I mean, terrible pain, fear, everything. You can't get worse than that, right? I mean, that's the ultimate. And we do it to billions of animals, like constantly. I mean, it's like an ocean of this most horrific of all possible killing and torture we're doing. We're doing that ourselves for no reason. Like no reason. We don't need to eat animal food. I mean, it's insanity to what we're doing. Those are the seeds we're planting as human beings on this planet. And, of course, we keep planting those seeds. We're going to, in creating a dysfunctional, dystopian future for these animals, you know, we've got to understand if you plant seeds of poison ivy, don't expect to be eating apples from that. You're going to be itching. So, you know, that's what we're doing. But I do think it's important, at least for me, to realize that for that pig who endures that horrific treatment, at one point she leaves the body, right? She leaves. And then the body, they do all these things to the body, but she's not in the body anymore. At one point, she's gone. And she's free, right? I mean, you've read near-death accounts. I mean, you know, people, like, they're drowning, their body's racked with pain, and then they leave the body, and there's no more pain. And they look, they can see their body, and they can see, there it is, it's dead, but they're more alive than they've ever been. It's the same thing for the pig. She's more alive than ever. She's a being, eternal being, just like us. And at that point, it never happened, really. I mean, it's over. It never happened. You know, so I'm not saying that to say, okay, everybody, go ahead and have eat, eat pork, you know. It really does happen. I mean, the real suffering is suffering. But at the deeper dimension, there's other realities going on. And it's important to look at the big picture, I think. The bigger the picture we have, the more we're free of fear, and the more we're free of fear, the more wisdom and healing we can allow to flow through us to bless others. Otherwise we contract, right? We contract around fear, and the more we contract, the more painful we get, and the more we create pain for others. The more we expand with wisdom and see the bigger picture and abide in peace and harmony, because we understand that what we are is the sky. We're not the clouds that are blocking the sun. We're the infinite eternal sky of consciousness. But we can't do that without meditation on a regular basis every day, I think. I mean, otherwise it's just intellectual thoughts. We're called to practice, in some way, practice. You know, I sit every day for at least an hour, just watch my mind. But, you know, however you do it, that's up to you. But every, you know, like this teaching that we just heard, the Dhammapada, that was given by the Buddha to people who are meditating probably 8 to 12 hours or more every day, right? So, I mean, at least we could take a little time to kind of watch our mind, become aware of how our mind works. Otherwise, like I've said, you know, it's like we have this wonderful instrument like a piano, but no one ever taught us how to use it, and we just make a lot of noise. We just bang on the keys, and we wonder why we don't make beautiful music. It's because we never practiced. We never trained. We have to train ourselves to use this beautiful instrument of our mind and make beautiful music with it. And that means practicing every day. I mean, people practice piano for 3 or 4 hours a day. We can practice being aware of our thoughts and bringing them back to gratitude or to awareness or to inner listening, or for a half an hour a day, whatever you're called to. But I think, you know, this idea of practice, that's the key. Veganism is a practice. The arts are a practice. Ahimsa is a practice. Everything is practice. So the whole idea, I think, is that whatever the world throws at us, right, whatever arises in our experience, that becomes our practice, how we respond. How do we respond is our practice. And no one else can do that for us. So that's a wonderful question. And I think it's a really important one. And there's many more layers to it, way, way more. I mean, there's countless more layers. Pain. I mean, what do you do? You know, what do you do about pain? That's a big thing. You know, Natalie went to have her teeth, she had three little cavities. She had to have her teeth drilled a couple of days ago. And, the dentist, he just wants to give her Novocaine, you know, and she says, no, I don't do that. I don't do that stuff. You know, no, I don't want toxic chemicals in my body. No, I'll just do it. No, so he filled three cavities with no. She doesn't take pain medications. Now she doesn't want the toxins, and she has a technique like an acupressure technique where she pushes on her finger really hard, and just goes beyond the pain, right? I mean, so the idea is that our minds have tremendous capacities, and we are not taught that by our society. We're taught to take no responsibility for the state of our own health. Just to go to a doctor and get a drug, you know, which just suppresses the symptoms and makes us afraid and sick and gives them a lot of money and power over us. And then they buy the media and then they throw us all in jail, basically. That's what they're doing. I mean, we're like a bunch of livestock at this point, because we've made animals into livestock. So we're really at a critical time, actually. At least on one level. But I think the only way forward is this inner work, ultimately, that we're all called to do. All right, so anyone else have any question? I have to stop here. I promised everybody in the house that I wouldn't go past 9 o'clock here, and it's now 5 of. So I have time for maybe one more question, if anyone has a question or comment. Judy, do you have anything you want to say? It's just lovely to see you sitting there and smiling. And Lawrence, Kansas, how are things there? Do you have anything you want to share? about, you don't have to, but.
Well, it's, very, lots of math here, lots of fear, tremendous amount of fear.
Mm.
And, so we're, spending more time meditating.
Right.
And knowing that, it's all for the good, and that we're going to be, coming out of this in a new way. This is, I think, a really golden opportunity to help people understand what veganism is all about.
Right.
A higher consciousness, literally a higher consciousness of kindness and nonviolence to all, because people, reason I think that is because people are in such a questioning state of mind right now, and confused and wondering what is going on. And I think that as vegans and understanding the concept of ahimsa, we have some real answers, and that we can create a better world out of this chaos. So, so that's what's going on in Lawrence. But I did want to say, Will, thank you so much for that meditation. It was just beautiful, and your voice is so soothing and perfect, and you just say so many, just the kind of things that we all need to hear right now when so much chaos is going on around us. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Judy. Judy is the author of a new book called Homo Ahimsa, which I think we're all, in a sense, hoping to manifest. Instead of Homo sapiens, I don't know if we're all that wise, but maybe we're on that path. But Homo Ahimsa of non-harmfulness, I think that's really beautiful. And we also have Tammy Hay with us, who is the author of a new book called Sacred Sovereignty, another wonderful book. Sovereignty is such an important idea, that each one of us really take responsibility for the quality of our lives, the quality of our minds and consciousness. So I know each and every one of you on this call are magnificent bodhisattvas, really. I know that. And I think we're here, perhaps we're part of a soul family or something like that, where we're on this earth. We came here for this, probably. I mean, this is it. This, after 10,000 years of animal agriculture, and we have a huge population and a technology where, now it's really time for us to evolve, beyond this way of seeing beings as commodities and reducing ourselves to commodities and the earth to a commodity. And it really starts with our own consciousness. So it's really an honor to be with all of you. Thanks again, all of you, for joining us. And I see we have a few links here. I'll go ahead and just the World Peace Diet Facilitator Facebook page. I'll post the chats here. If anyone wants to share any thoughts or links, you can type it in there. I'll share that later. It's been a wonderful hour to get to see you and share some thoughts with you. Thanks to Shakyamuni Buddha for sharing some of his insights with us here this evening, and for all of you, because I really, this doesn't come from me. It just comes from you, I think. And I don't know what I'm going to say. I just start talking, and I think the feel that we have together of compassion and of yearning for a world of freedom and harmony, which is our true nature, is really the pure gold that is, they call it the alchemical gold. The alchemists are always looking for that gold. And the alchemical gold not supposed to be a physical gold. It's actually, our consciousness. It's transforming our own awareness into gold, from lead to gold, from heavy fear to something that is infinitely brilliant and precious. The Buddhists call it the diamond mind. Vajra. So I think that's, you know, these images perhaps point in the direction that we're called to make our journey and to put our attention. So I won't add any more icing on the cake. I think we have a good cake here. This is really good. So I'll stop here. And just send you all my love, and Madeline sends her love as well. My sister, I'm just really grateful. My sister, she's a longtime vegan. She's been a vegan now for 20 years. And my mother's been a vegan for about 20 years too. So I'm so glad that they're on the same page here. And we just had, we had a wonderful vegan Thanksgiving. Some of you may have seen the pictures. We had, I think, whatever it was, about 13 or 14 people here. My brother's daughter also lives here in Florida, and she's vegan. She's got three little vegan kids. And her husband's also a vegan. And then, my sister's daughter, Christy, is also a vegan, and she has four little vegan kids. So anyway, we've got this whole vegan thing happening. So we had a wonderful Thanksgiving, here. And, so just keep planting those seeds. So I guess we'll stop here, and maybe we can just say together a couple of times our worldwide prayer circle for animals prayer, which the one I said earlier together. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Again, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. One last time. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Much love to all of you, and please let me know if you have any questions about anything, concerns, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the third Thursday. I hold you all in my heart. Much love, and go forth and multiply this, the message of that you are in the world. Thank you. Thanks again, everyone. Much love. Thanks. Bye-bye.